warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. And this is the show where we promote virtue among all men to be bold, to live Catholic every single day.
Be bold.
Be bold. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles in our studio. And for the first time, we're going to record this episode video all the way through for the friends of the show.
Yeah, the cameras are rolling.
The camera is rolling. Camera, yeah, we only have one.
We're not big budget,
No, we're not like Catholic Answers
no.
or anything. But we are recording this episode, and we're going to be giving it to the friends of the show to let them, actually, even before we even air
the
show.
Sneak peek, yeah, they get to sneak peek it.
Yeah, they get to sneak peek. So if you ask, if someone's asking Dave, how do I become a friend of the show? What are they going to do?
Well, here's what you should do. You should go to breadboxmedia.com. Click on the Friends of the Show link, and then search The Catholic Man Show, and then you can donate $10 a month, and you will become a friend of the show. We will respond by inviting you to our private Facebook group, where all cool things happen, and we will also send you one of three things, either a Catholic Man Show beer mug, a Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass,
right,
which can be viewed on the video at this moment, or a bracelet. If you're a lady, we have a gift for you as well.
A silver bracelet. My wife made fun of us last time for not doing a good description of the bracelet this last week.
I saw that coming.
Yeah, me too. me too. But it's a silver bracelet. There you go. A silver one.
Genuine silver.
So we do three things every show on the Catholic Man Show. We highlight a man beverage. Well, we open,
review,
and enjoy a man beverage.
Way to go.
Then we highlight a man gear, and then talk about a man topic.
Yes.
So, Dave, the last few weeks, we've been doing different types of beers, particularly local beers.
Uh-huh, because we got them for free.
We're a big fan of that. And we've also had, St. Stephen who sent us beer.
Those beers, I'm not kidding, I took some time to really think about this. Those are my favorite beers of all time.
They're definitely up the top three for me.
Yeah. Like the one we drank on the anniversary, and then the one I had, the
green.
Oh, man.
It was just like, really good.
I think those really were my favorite beers of all time.
Yeah. But today we're gonna go back to whiskey.
A bourbon.
A whiskey with an E.
Correct.
We're going to go to bourbon because I've just been missing whiskey. To be honest with you.
I know. Yeah,
I love beer, but I've been missing whiskey.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be drinking Jefferson's Reserve. It's a very old Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. Very small batch.
Incredibly small batch.
And they're not joking when they say very small batch. In fact, I don't think very is a good enough adjective.
Yeah.
When we're talking about how small a batch
this is. How many barrels does a small batch qualify for?
About 200 to 300.
Okay, so if you're making 300 barrels, consider that small batch.
Small batch. These, they do 8 to 12.
So there's a big difference there.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge difference. So Jefferson Reserve is kind of on the higher end of mid-range whiskeys.
Okay.
Bourbon whiskeys. The bottle is about a $55 bottle, $50 to $60 bottle, depending on where you are. And so let's try it.
I can't wait.
Dave, how's your week been as I'm pouring you a whiskey?
Oh, man, it's been awesome. Just today, I was helping my dad with my brother-in-law.
How did the Krupnik go?
Yeah, we made another batch of Krupnik.
Krupnik. I always say Krupnik.
Yeah, well, it depends on how much Polish slang you want to throw in there. You know, Krupnik.
Krupnik.
Krupnik has actually been one of our man beverages.
Yeah, we paired it along with Kill-A-Pitch.
Yeah, Kill-A-Pitch. Yeah.
Which my mother-in-law brought back from Germany, which is a lot like...
What is it? It's the licorice...
Yeah, I don't ever
Jaeger.
Think of it. Jaeger. Yeah, I don't really think of Jaeger as licorice, but I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Krupnik, man, it is... So it's right now, Christmas time, you know, and mm-hmm. It's not actually Christmas, but Advent. This just cold weather, man, it's a drink. It just tastes like Christmas.
Right. But, it really does.
But today, we're drinking this Jefferson Reserve.
Right.
Which I'm very excited about.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. That was a sweet ring.
I know, dude. It sounds good. Okay. It smells good.
Okay. So on the nose, for me, I instantly got a little bit of tobacco.
Okay.
A tobacco smell. Do you get that at all?
I'm getting the vanilla, which is just always...
Right. But
put vanilla in whiskey? I don't even know.
No.
Actually, today I was cutting up a vanilla bean for the first time.
I smell oak and tobacco.
Oak, yeah. And the vanilla. I don't know why vanilla seems to be present in all whiskeys.
You know what I don't smell, though?
Hmm.
I don't smell a alcohol, like the stinging alcohol that you get on a lot of bourbons.
Yeah, I don't either. I still, just on the nose, vanilla is just, it keeps hitting me over and over and over again, and I can't get past, I can't really pick up on anything else, just because that's all I've identified that, and it's like I'm stuck on it.
Okay. It's very smooth, very woody at the very end.
I get a little bit of orange.
The finish, you do?
Yeah.
You get citrus in this?
No, not citrus. I get orange.
How do you get...
Citrus is kind of like that lemon-lime. It's not like a Sprite. You know, I get like a hint of an orange tang.
Peel?
Yeah, kind of orange peel. Maybe that's
what
I'm saying. Because it's not citrus.
Okay.
It's not what I'm getting.
At the end, I get heavy wood.
Mm-hmm.
I get a heavy wood taste. And I think that's probably because of the small batch.
Sure.
A very small batch.
And I like how the aftertaste sticks around. I don't like it when a whiskey just, the flavor leaves
real
quick. Yeah,
it's not watery at all. Which is kind of some of the reasons why I don't like bourbon at times. Because I feel like it's a little I feel the same way about lagers as I do sometimes bourbons.
Okay.
I feel like I'm getting cheated. Is what I feel like. I feel like I'm getting cheated.
This whiskey's ripping me off.
Yeah, it's a little watery. But no, I do enjoy it. This is actually probably, out of all the bourbons that we've tried on the show, I would say that this one is my favorite that we've tried on the show.
It's a full-bodied bourbon,
right,
for sure.
Which is probably why I like it.
Yeah. But it's also more expensive.
Yes, it is. It is, like I said, it's between $50 and $60.
Yeah.
So you definitely are paying for... It's not one that you want to bust out probably for all your friends.
I mean, it depends on how much you like them.
And depends on how many friends you got.
Yeah.
But it's still really good.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I really like it. So let's talk a little bit about moderation, because we haven't done that in the last couple episodes.
Yeah, good idea.
I'll let you start.
Why are we drinking on the show? We're drinking because God made the things of this earth good, and they should be enjoyed for their goodness.
Mm-hmm.
A sunset a person can admire the beauty, and that can bring someone closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds crazy, and I don't think most people view their whiskey drinking as a spiritual experience. But the goodness of whiskey is, there's a correlation between the goodness of all material things.
Right.
Because they have an end. And inasmuch as you use them appropriately for that end...
Mm-hmm.
They are bringing you closer to God because you're using this world the way He designed it to be made. So it's like there can be, that experience that you see in a sunset. You could, if you just really love whiskey, you could find that in a nice bottle of whiskey,
Right.
However, there is a limit to certain things. The goodness of a sunset should not overshadow the goodness of family. And if you are ignoring your crying children, so that you can sit outside and watch a sunset, then you are not, I mean, that's like, you're missing the point.
Yeah, you're missing your vocation.
In fact, you're letting a lesser good is overshadowing a greater one.
Right.
And so when you drink beyond what is appropriate, it, the same thing happens.
Right.
Because you lose your ability to, you know, your free will is diminished.
Mm-hmm.
And our free will, it's really tough to find a good that is greater than that.
Well, our free will is the best.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, you could talk about the sacraments and, you know, other things, but,
right.
you know, you have to engage your free will in the sacraments anyway.
Right.
I'm just trying to simplify a very complex potential topic. So anyway, moderation is important, to say the least.
Especially whenever you're talking about alcohol.
When you're engaging in the good of alcohol,
mm-hmm.
one must practice moderation, and you should know yourself.
It's a manly virtue.
Mm-hmm. Moderation is different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
For those who struggle with alcoholism,
mm-hmm.
moderation means zero.
Right.
And you should know that about yourself, and to, you know, continue to practice that form of moderation is manly and will grow you in virtue.
Right, and that's what we all try to promote here on the Catholic Man Show. It's all about manly
Word.
Virtue.
Word.
So,
Oh, well, here's the music.
Man.
Dang. I was going to ask you what you thought.
I agreed. I concur.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
All right, so on the other side of the break, we'll talk about the man here, and
okay.
let's also talk about what we're going to be doing this week for the Friends of the Show.
Yeah, I'm all excited.
Right, here we go. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We will be...
Right back.
Right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan. And Adam Minahan's biceps. Dang, check those out, son. You've been picking things up and putting them down.
Been doing a little bit of push-ups.
So why are your biceps getting bigger?
Whenever you come back up, you're using your triceps,
mm-hmm.
and your triceps are actually bigger than your biceps.
Right.
So they're like two-thirds to one-third.
Right.
So if your triceps are getting bigger... makes your biceps look bigger as well.
Because it crowds them out.
Right. So that's why.
Yeah, it's like, hey, scoot over, biceps.
If you're asking me, that's why.
Yeah. All right. How many push-ups are you doing?
A lot.
So like 5, 6?
A lot.
Yeah. Awesome, bro.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
I'm trying to get it to even more than a lot.
Hey, I just want to make a PSA.
Okay.
What is a PSA?
Public service announcement.
This is a public safety announcement.
Okay.
Somebody out there is ripping off our bumper music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, St. Stephen sent it to me, and he's like, hey.
He's like, hey, I just found this video, and I start, so Adam just sends me a YouTube video, I start playing it, and right off the bat is our bumper music, and I thinking to myself, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a public safety announcement. If you're out there ripping off our bumper music, my guardian angel's coming after you,
We were here first.
Yeah, and we paid for that.
And I have copyright, like, I have it ready to go.
Be warned.
So.
You owe us $1,000.
Make it out to Adam Minahan.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What
are we drinking?
We're drinking Jefferson Reserve Bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. I think this is definitely in my upper 10% for bourbons.
We're going to be potentially going to a bourbon festival this next year.
Yeah, in Kentucky.
In Kentucky. Let me just throw this out there. If you ever want us to come out and... do a Catholic Man Show at location, we have the capabilities of doing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Our
demands are low.
We would have to... our demands are very low because we're not for profit.
Right.
And so we just need to be able to get out there,
mm-hmm.
and we need internet and electricity.
And a black Cadillac.
To pick
exactly
us up.
73 degrees on the inside.
Yes.
Waiting for me at the airport.
With a nice scotch.
Yes.
Yes.
To be... consumed upon arrival of our destination.
Yes. And a driver named Jefferson.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're making demands.
Okay.
Okay.
So now you know.
So now you know.
Just
But we'd love to come out and do a Catholic Man show.
Put those things together.
We have a few things in the works with In the Breach as well. Into the Breach.
Okay, and so tomorrow, we're also doing something special.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, why don't you go ahead?
Oh, you want me to go?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
We're interviewing Matthew Christoph, who is the founder of several things,
mm-hmm.
but the main thing that he's known for is the New Evangelization.
.com.
The New Evangelization.com. We're going to be interviewing him and giving it to our friends of the show. So now's a great time to become a friend of the show because we're going to be interviewing him. And
ain't that the truth?
We're only going to give it to the friends of the show.
Yeah,
so.
And if you become a friend of the show, you can go back on the Facebook page. You know, it's all the stuff we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the talk I did on the extended version of Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist,
mm-hmm.
And some of the other interviews and things.
Right, that we've done.
Yada, yada, yada.
With one with Michael Miley, the drummer from the Rival Sons.
Word.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're going to get a chance to see him again this year.
Yeah, I know.
He'll be great.
He's coming to
Rocklahoma, I think is what it's
Enid.
Called.
Enid.
Yeah.
Enid, yeah.
Yeah.
Rocklahoma.
I think that's what it's called. Anyway. Okay, so let's get into the man gear.
Lead the way.
Which is going to bleed into the man topic, which I love when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen all the time.
No.
And sometimes we have to really reach to
we
make
do
it.
Our best, you know.
Right. But the man gear of the week is Advent wreath. Okay, and it's perfect time because we're in the Advent season.
This is Advent.
Right, and we're actually halfway through Advent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have one, you need to hurry up and get one.
It's not too late.
It's not too late. But the Advent wreath, Dave, was not Christian at first. That people used to have like wreaths with candles on it in the wintertime to signify hope for springtime. Especially like farmers and things like that.
Yeah.
Waiting for them to... you know, for springtime, so that way they can start growing their crops again and everything else.
Okay.
But in the 1600s, both Catholics and Lutherans, because the Reformation had already happened.
Advent wreaths from the 1600s.
1600s.
Wow.
Were picked up from Catholics and Lutherans, and it was used. I mean, it was used a little bit before then, but in the 1600s was when everybody started. Like it was like this is a thing.
Okay.
Now, in the 1600s. And they were all using them regularly. So let's go over a little bit about what the Advent wreath, like the symbolism of the Advent wreath.
Okay.
It's a circle, right?
It's a circle.
It's a not a square.
No, it has no corners. Because it's a circle.
It has no beginning or end.
Right.
So anyway, I just had to get that out of the way because I knew you were going to do that.
It's a circle.
I thought we'd just get that out of the way. The evergreen.
I was going to do it.
I know. The evergreens that is used in the wreath, it signifies continuous life because the evergreens are...
They never die.
They never die.
Yeah.
They do
eventually.
If you stop watering them completely...
They will die. In fact, I have one in my front yard that is dead.
A lot of times the evergreens that are used is holly. Okay?
Okay.
Which, if you've ever had a holly plant, it is terrible. Like, I hate holly plants. Because the leaves are all the super prickly.
They will stab you.
They will stab you. My grandparents.
My parents have one that is a tree. That ain't no bush.
It's a tree.
It is a tree. Mm. Yeah, you know, like the holly for the last couple of years that we've used in the decorations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for my mom's tree
well,
bush.
It helps us.
Thing.
It helps us remind us of the crowning of thorns.
Yeah.
So that's why they also use holly.
Because I'll bet the crowning of thorns. I'll bet those thorns were even sharper. If I had to guess.
That's a safe assumption.
Well.
So, anyway, so they use holly, and they also use, there's like a small T tradition. In fact, it said an English tradition, so I don't know. This is just what it said.
Okay, so this is like subscript T.
Right.
It's like real small
T. Yeah, really small. But it says that the wood of the cross was made from holly.
Really?
That's just what... that's what it said. Small T tradition, English tradition.
Yeah, that would be really tough. I have really hard time believing that because my mom's, like I said, her...
Is a tree.
It's
yeah.
a tree, but it is not nearly... I mean, you're not making a cross out of that wood.
Right, and it's not heavy either.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't either. I'm just relaying what I read.
I appreciate it.
So, you know, the circle of the wreath, it signifies the eternity of God.
Because it's a circle.
Because it's a circle. The immortality of this and the immortality of the soul.
Uh huh. Okay.
It never ends.
Yeah, that never ends.
It never ends.
But it does begin.
So in the yet yeah,
the soul does
the
begin.
The soul does
has
begin.
Beginning. Yeah.
We talked about that last episode.
Yeah.
St. Thomas Aquinas.
Right.
Anyway, the four candles. So there's three purple and one rose, not pink, rose.
Yeah. Gaudete.
Yeah. So the tradition is each week represents, like each candle represents 1,000 years, which I didn't know that, equaling 4,000 years, which is apparently the time between Adam and Eve
and Jesus.
Christ.
Yeah, it was 2,000 years to Moses,
uh-huh.
and then another 2,000 years
but
to Jesus.
I didn't know that that was a, I didn't know that until I read it.
Right, and so like, if you think about it, here we are another 2,000 years later, coming up on it anyway, mm-hmm. 2033, it's like, what's going to happen?
I don't know. So the purple signifies prayer, penance, and preparatory sacrifices.
Say that four times fast. Prayer, penance, preparatory sacrifices.
Yes. And the rose signifies rejoicing because we're halfway through Advent.
See, in my house, the pink Gaudete Sunday is also known as Panic Sunday. Because mm. often it means there is like a week till Christmas.
Mm.
Hurry, get all your shopping done.
Mm-hmm.
It's Panic Sunday.
Dude, I went to Mass this week and they wore purple.
What?
He forgot.
Who did?
The priest that I was, where I went. I went.
Oh, you were in Dallas.
Yeah, I was in Dallas. And like at the end of it, he was like, yeah, I'm really sorry about this, guys. He goes, thank you, choir, for wearing rose. I'm wearing purple. I'm sorry.
I think he only gets like, there's like two official days with like an optional third day all year. He gets to wear the rose.
Like, I know that can't be a liturgical abuse. I'm not a liturgical person.
It's
like,
not an abuse.
No, but I mean, it's like, when you wear the wrong color, that has to be, it's like, hey, you're not supposed to wear the wrong color.
Right, yeah, you're supposed to wear the right color, but like, it was an accident.
Right, yeah, yeah. But anyway, I just thought it was really funny, because he was at the end, he was just like, guys.
It's my bad.
I really messed up. And we were all like, what did he mess up on? You know, I'd already picked up that he wasn't wearing pink, but he acted right. Like, I lost $100,000.
Yeah.
Know, or something. I mean, that's what.
Remember
he,
all that money we raised for yeah. the... you know, capital campaign, it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah, that's the way he started it out. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be intense. I mean,
he's very remorseful for his mistake.
Yeah, so anyway. So some people ask, well, when should we do the Advent wreath? You know, because you light the candles each week. When yeah. should we do that? I think it's if you're a family guy, you're listening, you're a family guy, I think that it's very important to instill a tradition, a family tradition.
Mm-hmm.
With Advent, and I think it's not too late. You can still do it.
Yeah.
But traditionally, you do it right before dinner, right mm-hmm. after prayer, dinner, like your grace before meal.
Right after the meal?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, okay. I always do it right before.
I don't think that really matters.
Like candles and prayer.
Yeah. And if you have little kids like you and I do, like Luke,
they will battle over who gets to blow out the
yeah,
candles
Luke
at the end.
Luke is super pumped about this Advent wreath because yeah. he eats dinner like a champ right now. Because he didn't get to blow out the candles unless he's eating dinner.
Word.
You know, so that's also something that you can kind of use to your benefit if you are a dad.
Think about it.
Yeah, dad who is struggling to get your kids to eat dinner all the way through. So anyway, I think that it's a really good idea to, after grace or before grace, to sit down as a family and continue focusing on that we're waiting.
We're waiting.
For Christ to come. And so anyway... We'll kind of pick up on this and bleed into the top man topic right after the break. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Everybody raise your glass. Everybody raise them.
Raise them high.
Raise them up. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So we raise our glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles.
I'm David Niles.
I already said that.
I'm David Niles.
You always interrupt me.
Matt Damon.
We're sitting here drinking Jefferson's Reserve.
I've been quoting
batch.
A lot of movies on this episode that I cannot recommend anybody watch.
Well, stop doing it.
I need to.
You need to stop it.
I need to stop.
Okay.
Somebody stop me. I can recommend that one, I think.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Me either.
So.
But I watched it when I was like 10, so it's probably okay.
Yeah. Anyway, back to what I was saying. More importantly, back to what I was
saying.
That was
the mask, in case you didn't hear Adam.
Jefferson's Reserve is what we're drinking, a very small batch bourbon whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
We just got done talking about the Advent wreath, but we'll go ahead and wrap that up.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing to do...
Wrap that up, Christmas. Get it?
Ooh, I get it.
You got that?
Okay. My favorite thing to do with the Advent wreath is to wear it around my head like a necklace, especially once all the candles are going. Looks good.
I'd like you to do that and take a picture and post it on the Catholic
Man
Show.
Dude, I've been doing it all day.
I'd prefer you to post it on the Catholic Man
Show. I recommend short haircuts.
Yes, and no beards. Or very...
You just got to have the candles on the side. You just got to be good, okay? It's not...
I'm interested to see how
that works. It's an advanced skill.
Interested to see how this works.
And I recommend also either very, very long candles or very, very short candles. One or the other.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay. All right. We are going to talk about... Oh, hold on. Okay, so the Advent wreath. The whole purpose of the Advent wreath, you know, is in preparation for Christ's coming and to stay focused on the meaning of Christmas.
Right.
Especially right now, how hard it is to stay focused on what the meaning of Christmas is with all the material things that are going on added to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just give you a dad tip here. And this is something that actually my wife came up with, so I can't even take credit for it, but I'm giving her the credit, which is like, man, I can't.
But it's still a dad tip.
Yeah, it is still a dad tip. I can't believe I didn't think about this. For Christmas, your kids are getting a lot of new toys. Before they're able to open their new toys, they have to pick the same amount of toys that they already have to give away to kids who don't have toys. That keeps you from having a ton of toys in your living room.
Yeah.
But it also helps them, you know, figure out the whole meaning of sharing and giving to the less fortunate.
Do they have to pick the toys before they open the new one?
That's how we do it.
Mm-hmm. Because what if they say, like, ooh, rather keep the old toy than this new toy?
Does that ever happen as a 3-year-old?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't think that ever happens.
Probably not.
As a 3-year-old.
No, yeah.
I mean, even if the new one is worse, you still want to open that one.
Yeah.
Because of the novelty of it being new.
It's new.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, that's just a tip. You know, you can take it. Here's another one. Brush your teeth every day.
Dad tip.
Yeah. So, I mean, take whichever one you want.
Don't hit your sister. Another dad tip.
Yeah. Okay. So, we're gonna get into the man topic now, which is when men are in spiritual ruts, which I think is a very timely topic as well, because Christmas is a joyous time, obviously. Advent, we're preparing for this joyous time. But for some people, it's not as joyful.
Yeah, which is sad.
Which is sad. But there are times that Christmas brings heartache.
Yeah,
or
memories,
pain.
You know, stuff that happens bad around, right. You know, or, you know, if you lost someone this year, you know, it becomes more evident that they're not here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think that it's important to realize that everybody gets in spiritual ruts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that Christmas sometimes is a catalyst, possibly, of the spiritual ruts.
Okay.
Maybe.
I could see it.
I mean, that...
For me, you know, it does one thing of getting me... It gets me out of my routine so often. You know, like...
The spiritual rut or Christmas?
No, Christmas.
Okay.
Just the holidays, you know, because you travel a lot more or you have people over. And I find it very often that I don't get through my prayer routine. I'm a very regimented person, and when my regiment, thank you, changes, things like get
thrown out.
Yeah, they like fall by the wayside.
And it's not even that you're
like crazy. I don't even try to do it.
Right.
It's just
that's what I was about to
like
say.
It's end of the day and going like, man, I didn't do this and
right.
I forgot about that. You know.
So we're gonna talk about 6 things that we can do to either acknowledge or get out of spiritual ruts, especially during this time period.
Yeah.
One being, okay, so a lot of people are probably asking, how is the Advent wreath even connected to this?
Because it's a circle.
It's a Advent wreath, the reason why I said that it can bleed into our topic is because when you are in a spiritual rut, a lot of times the best thing to do is to start a new family tradition. It gets everybody excited.
Mm-hmm.
And you can focus back onto
a spiritual tradition.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the Advent wreath.
Right.
You can focus your mind back onto Christ.
Uh huh.
So
get some family prayer energy building.
Exactly. So I think that that is a very useful tool to get out of spiritual ruts is an Advent wreath or during Lent, you know, something that you can give up together as a family. Or,
sure.
You know,
good idea.
Even the dad tip that I just gave with teaching your kids how to give to the less fortunate.
Yeah.
Anyway, things like that to develop these traditions with your family, to come together and to help and to pray together can help get out of spiritual ruts. Family is a great advocate that you can have, a great tool that you can have to help with your spiritual problems.
Yeah. No, totally.
I think, though, probably the first thing that you should do is recognize that you're in a spiritual rut.
Yeah, you have to admit, you know, the first stage to solving a problem is
right.
Recognizing that you have a
problem. There is a
problem. Yeah.
And I think that the devil is really good at masking this. I think that he tries to blind you that you are in a spiritual rut.
Yeah.
I've noticed, like, I can speak from experience. Like, there's been times where I didn't even realize that I was in a spiritual rut, but I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, he just kind of slips you into laziness, maybe, like,
mm-hmm. Apathy.
Just being mindless about your prayer, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. So I think the first thing to do is to make sure that you recognize, listen, I'm in a spiritual rut. And you're not the only person that's going through this. There have been many great saints.
How would you judge? How do you know, though, if you're in a spiritual rut?
Well, I can't speak for everybody, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally,
mm-hmm.
Prayer gets very hard to do.
Yeah.
The idea of prayer, sometimes, like, you know, I try to pray a daily, just like you, try to pray a daily rosary.
Sure.
The idea of praying a rosary was like the same thing as of running 25 miles, 30 miles. I can't run 25 or 30 miles. So the idea of praying, getting through a whole rosary was just something that I was like, there is just no way.
Okay. Because I think it could be a mistake to judge whether or not you're in a spiritual rut based on your feelings, based on your emotions. You know, your emotions, because, you know, often those times of dry prayer, those are the best prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
well,
not
the most
about
efficacious
you.
Efficacious prayers.
Right, but, you know, so efficacious, why not? They're the best then.
Well, sometimes it is spiritual, like a reviving of whenever you get that, what we've called like a spiritual cookie on our show
mm-hmm.
before.
Yeah.
You know, that feeling that you have of God being so close to you.
Mm-hmm. Which is such a blessing. However, I would judge a spiritual rut by, I am failing to do the things that are required of me spiritually. So prayer is an act of justice. We must pray by justice, as rendering God what is due to him.
Right, yes, absolutely.
So if you're failing in that act of justice, I would say, boom, there's a big indicator that you're in a spiritual rut. If you're like just unable to get through your prayer, then, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and realize you're in a spiritual rut. What do you think about that?
I agree. I also do think, though, a sign of getting in a spiritual rut is just the feeling of the distance of God.
Okay.
There's sometimes where, you know, you just feel like he is just not, like, is anybody listening?
Mm-hmm.
Is there, like, is this prayer even worth praying? I think the devil plants those seeds into your mind of doubt is mm-hmm. really what it is. Is God even there? Is he even listening?
Yeah, so I think I would disagree. I think I would say that's not necessarily a spiritual rut. It could be that you're doing everything very right and that you're, you know, going through a dry time, which is a gift to you.
Okay, so I think we need to distinguish what a spiritual rut and spiritual dryness is.
Okay, yeah, that's a good
idea.
Because
I think that would be a good, like, because spiritual rut, I guess, would be a lacking of doing something that you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And spiritual dryness would be something that all of a sudden you just, like, prayer seems dry. Like, you, the distance of God mm-hmm. in your life, or the right. feeling of not having God close to you.
Yeah, because, you know, Mother Teresa, as we know now, she was having these...
50 years.
You know, for almost her whole life, this distance from God. And I mean, they were mm-hmm. intermingled with moments of ecstasy and, you know, pure ecstatic joy but in her prayer life. But for most of it, it was a feeling of distance. Is God, you know, kind of like what you were just describing, is God there? But I don't think she was in a spiritual rut necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know
I think,
what I mean?
I think this comes down to definitions.
Yeah. Yeah, so to me, a rut is you're failing in the act of, in, you know...
Of what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, of accomplishing your justice.
That, I think that spiritual dryness can lead into spiritual...
I agree with that, definitely.
I think that you can become spiritually dry and then fall into a spiritual rut.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so let's... Okay,
we'll clear this up after the break.
Yeah, okay, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Let's raise our glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show.
The one and only.
The one and only.
Known in Australia as the Catholic Man Show.
G'day. G'day to our Australian listeners.
Yeah, because we have a friend of the show from Australia now.
Yeah, we do.
Jacob.
And he told me my Australian accent was not offensive. That's a true story. That's not even a joke. He did tell me that. I don't know if that particular rendition I just gave was
of similar qualities
previous ones.
And he did say that during the Year of Mercy as well.
That's
I'm
true.
Just telling you.
That's true. Anyway, so we were talking about spiritual ruts. And while we were talking about spiritual ruts, we were drinking Jefferson Reserve bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, as I continue to drink it, it's getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one, guys. Let me just throw that out there.
I highly recommend it. For $50, if you're a bourbon guy and you're not... Because there's a lot of guys who are not Scotch guys
uh-huh.
who listen to our show, and they keep telling us, hey, I'm not a Scotch guy.
Yeah.
If you're not a Scotch
guy... If you've got $50 in your bourbon budget, check this one out.
Jefferson's Reserve.
It's mighty fine.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, so spiritual rut, how do you know? Because if you progress in your spiritual life, you will eventually come to a time where you enter into the dark night of the soul. And right now I'm reading...
Dark Night of the Soul.
The Dark Night of the Soul, right. I was like, what is that book that I'm reading? By St. John of the Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about entering the dark night of the soul. And he talks about this. And this is a great book, guys. I highly recommend it. It's opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. The dark night of the soul is not something that, oh, you walk through a door and now you're in it. You begin to enter into it and then you come out. The Lord eases you into it. And it is a gift that you have in order to purge your soul of attachments to sin. It is the only way by which we can attain perfection in this life. So, it is possible that that is what you are experiencing if you are in a rut. But you must continue to pray. You must.
Mm-hmm.
If you fail, it doesn't matter why you're in a rut, if you're in a rut or if you're in a dark night.
Right.
If you fail to pray, it is a bad thing.
Absolutely.
It will be bad. So, there's another possibility that... You are not, that's not what's happening. You're just either getting lazy or, you know, kind of slipping out of a good routine in your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you might pray
mm-hmm.
and you just don't feel good about praying. There is a chance that you have rationalized a decision in your life, that you are justifying a sin that is part of your life. And because you are justifying it, you know deep down that you're doing something wrong. This is what happens when you rationalize a decision. Because you have chosen something that you know to be not the best.
Right.
Okay? And so when you go to pray, there is a feeling
mm-hmm.
of guilt.
Right.
Or of just like, this doesn't feel good because I know I'm doing something I shouldn't. And it's now interfering with your prayer life. So
yeah.
That is a possibility.
Right.
So I just wanted to clear that up about spiritual rut, dark night of the soul. Dark night of the soul is like a huge topic. Maybe we'll talk about someday. But
yeah.
Once I finish the book, who knows? Maybe we'll talk about it. But anyway, what's What's the next thing you should do? So if you are, it's like, I'm in a spiritual rut.
Mm-hmm. I think that you should do some investigation. I think you should investigate what brought you into this spiritual rut.
Okay.
Because in order to find the remedy, a lot of times you need to find out what the cause was.
Okay, so maybe you moved and you're, or maybe you took a new job, you know, something where your pattern is
changes.
Off.
Changes.
Yeah, your routine is off, and now it's you're missing a lot of prayers.
Or like what you were just talking about, something happened and somebody did something that offended you. Or something happened where someone sinned against you or you sinned against them.
Right.
And you're holding that in. You're holding that grudge or you're holding in forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we were going to talk about forgiving others as well, but I think we can bleed this in.
Right.
To
And God, that is so important.
I think that
in the our Lord's prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive
those who trespass.
I tell you what,
us.
Every time I pray that, the only thing I can think about is, do I need to forgive anybody?
Yes, exactly. And I think that that's a big thing because, you know, obviously forgiveness is a grace.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a grace. But I think forgiveness is a grace.
Totally.
And I think the more you can recognize throughout your daily life the graces that you've been given,
mm-hmm.
or the graces, the opportunities of capturing those graces, that will help you get out of these spiritual ruts.
Yeah.
Especially forgiving. If you are holding a grudge against a sibling or, you know, a coworker or one of your best friends, like, Dave, I'm still holding a grudge against the beard that you're growing. I can't grow it. and so I think that you have to be able to forgive and realize some of the things that's rooted into you in order to get out of the spiritual, in order to forgive.
Yeah. So I think a really good way to do investigation is to go get a spiritual director if you don't have one.
Absolutely.
You know, should everybody have a spiritual director? I think ideally, yeah, in a perfect world, everyone would have one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just tell you, here in Oklahoma, there are not enough priests and deacons. There are not enough qualified individuals to go around,
mm-hmm.
for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma is a mission diocese. We have two dioceses, but, you know, the whole area is a mission. So
we have a lot of opportunity.
That just means we're very low percentage Catholic here. So there, if everybody tried to go get a spiritual director, priests would have no time to say Mass,
right.
do anything else.
So I think at least at the bare minimum, you need to go talk to your priest.
Right. But if you're in a spiritual rut, this is a good reason,
mm-hmm.
to go get a spiritual director and, you know, tell them, I'm in a spiritual rut and I need help getting out. That would be a really good way of investigating. And then they will probably tell you to do the other things that we're going to tell you to do, but who knows? They might tell you to do something like super crazy and it might work.
I think also, though, one of the big things that you should realize, you realize you're in a spiritual rut, you start investigating why you're in that spiritual rut.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I think I recommend you should not do is make big decisions.
Mm, good. I'm glad you said that.
I think that emotional decisions are, for the most part, not a good idea. When you bring emotion into it, sometimes, almost all the time, it's irrational.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's emotional.
Right.
So I think that while you're in the spiritual rut,
this is just good advice in general.
I think that
if you're in an emotional state, don't make a big decision.
Yes. So I think that if you're in a spiritual rut or you're feeling the spiritual dryness, now's not the time, at least in my opinion, now's not the time to be making big life decisions.
Yeah. So if you're in a spiritual rut or you feel dryness in your prayer, just whatever, you know, it may be, because it feels differently. And these two things feel maybe the same.
Mm-hmm.
I would not recommend starting a new devotion.
No, I think, no, I agree with you.
Do
totally.
Not take on a new devotion in that state. I think it's a bad decision.
I agree.
Because one tactic the devil will use is, you need to dive more into prayer, and he will try to burn you out.
Spread you thin.
Right, until you just, and then once he's got you doing all that, he's going to really lay it on heavy. This doesn't work. Prayer is meaningless,
right.
You know, and all this stuff. If you have a prayer routine,
mm-hmm.
stick to that prayer routine, unless your spiritual director tells you otherwise.
Absolutely. I think that that goes without saying. Everything that we're saying now, and
unless your spiritual director tells you otherwise.
Okay. I think the next thing we have to talk about is the sacraments.
Yeah.
I think that's that's one of the biggest things. You keep yourself close to the sacraments, especially the sacrament of reconciliation. A lot of times, spiritual being in a spiritual rut is a cause of rooting out sin. It's because you're trying to root out sin.
Right. God is trying, because you're a big fat sinner.
Right. Exactly. So I think going to confession once every 2 weeks, when you are feeling like you're in a spiritual rut, I highly recommend. And listen, I've been there. Like, I go in and out of it. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I can feel one day I feel like that God is right next to me and I can, you know, through him I can conquer the world. And then the very next day I feel like that I can't even pray anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I feel that. I understand. I'm with you. I'm with you on this, guys. Like, I've been there. I'm living it sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think that the graces that you get through confession is something that you can't live without.
Right.
Especially during this time period.
The only exception being if you're someone who is scrupulous. If you're scrupulous, then you need a spiritual director.
Right.
Because
any
I've
confessor
heard,
should tell you that. Anyway.
Right. I've heard that if you are someone who's scrupulous, spiritual directors have told certain people you may not come to confession but once a month.
Right.
You know, like,
so,
that's your penance.
I definitely agree with that.
But I don't think most people deal with that,
right,
just to be honest.
So I also think, obviously, the Eucharist. I think that it is very important to start attending daily Mass. That is something that doesn't require you to put forth effort in praying as far as, like, oh, I got to pray the rosary now. It's, okay, go to the Mass, go to daily Mass. And I highly recommend finding another man that's one of your buddies.
Yes.
And going together. Hold each other accountable.
Yeah, if you can't get a spiritual director, just find a buddy.
Right.
And tell him, you know, lay it on, you know, and he can help you. You know, sometimes just having someone with you,
right,
who's going to, you know, be by your side, just is all the grace you need,
right, if it's
to persevere.
If it's getting up early in the morning to go before work, or if it's at lunch.
At
you
lunch
know,
or on
or
the way home.
On the way home.
There's a 5 o'clock Mass basically across the street from Adam and I that I attend. I haven't been in a while, but when I can, I like to go then.
So anyway, I highly recommend buddying up with somebody, especially if you're in a spiritual rut, and holding each other accountable. And if somebody asks you to do it, take that as a sign that you need to step up and be a friend to this man and make sure that he's getting through going to Mass, making sure that he's getting the proper graces that he needs.
Yes.
So anyway, I think that that's probably all we can talk about right now because we're about to run out of time.
Yeah, the music's about to hit.
We've been drinking some Jefferson Reserve. We've been talking about the Advent wreath. Go get an Advent wreath if you don't have one.
Because it's a circle.
And develop a family tradition. We've been talking about it being in a spiritual rut. Join the friends of the show because we're going to be talking to Matthew Christoph from the
NewEvangelization.com.
And we're going to be having the Catholic Gentleman on next week. So
yeah, that's excited. Sam Guzman.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Raise your glass.